This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du, my dear brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful religion which came to teach us how to live our lives in this world in a way that will make us hugely successful in this life, and inshallah will get us Jannah in the next life. This is the beauty of Islam, which does not promote a way of life which is harsh or hard in this life in order to get Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made all halal things permissible, and what Allah has made haram, what Allah has made impermissible, are things which are intrinsically harmful and they harm us. Nothing harms or benefits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Allah has made impermissible are things which are intrinsically bad and they harm us. And therefore, when we respect the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only are we doing something which is good in religion, for which inshallah Allah will reward us and we ask Allah for His reward, but we are doing something which is good for us and which will enable us to create a society which is compassionate, which is just, the weak are taken care of, where the powerful are not allowed and not permitted to oppress others, and so on and so forth. I think this is the great beauty of Islam. Today I want to talk to you about one of the biggest issues in this whole thing, which is the issue of racism. It's so sad to see how something like this exists and has existed for centuries, you know, untold, uncounted. And it's something which is totally and completely un-Islamic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us instructions in Surah Al-Hujurat, which sadly these instructions are for the building and protection of the Muslim Ummah. These instructions of how to behave in terms of our akhlaq, and we have been talking about that over the last few weeks, these are also things which are beneficial for us to practice in society at large. It's not only for the Muslim Ummah. For example, what we spoke about in terms of backbiting and ghibah and so on, it doesn't relate only to Muslims. We as Muslims are not allowed to backbite people who are not Muslim. Whoever, backbiting itself is haram. It's not haram only when applied to Muslims. It is not permissible to do it with people who are not Muslim. So it's very important to understand that all of these laws of Islam, which relate to huququl ibad, which relate to the rights of the people, they apply uniformly to all people. They are not meant for Muslims alone. The rights of all humanity are the same, and the punishments for transgression against those rights are also the same. A Muslim is not permitted to cause harm to a non-Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, famous hadith where he said, he is not a believer. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, who is not a believer? He says, the one from whose tongue and hand his neighbor is not safe. In another place, in another narration, he said, the one whose evil his neighbor fears. Now, the reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said he's not a believer, he's not pronouncing takfir, he's not saying the person has left Islam, but to emphasize the importance of this thing, to say that a Muslim is and must be somebody whose behavior is such that his neighbors love him, they respect him, they only anticipate good from that person. The famous story of Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullahi alayhi, which I have mentioned so many times before, where his neighbor who was a Jewish person, was selling his house. So he put it on the market, and he put a markup on that of 100%, meaning that if the house was worth 100,000 dirham, the man put it on the market at 200,000 dirham. So people came, some people came to see the house, they saw the house, and then they said to him, look, the house is good, we want to buy it, but your market, your price is double the market price. Now, what's the justification for that? The man said, do you know who my neighbor is? I said, who's your neighbor? He said, my neighbor is Abdullah bin Mubarak. So I put up the price at 200,000 because my house is worth 100,000. I know that. But the privilege of being the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak is worth the same amount of money. So here, the Jewish man is saying that having a Muslim as your neighbor is a saleable, marketable value which sends up the stock of your property. Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullahi alayhi, he heard the story. He came and met his neighbor, the Jewish man, and he told him, look, please don't sell your house. You are a beautiful neighbor. I love you very much. Stay here. And if you need money, I will give you the money as an interest-free loan. You take it and then you can repay me when you are able to repay me, but don't sell the house. Now, the point is that this is the kind of behavior and akhlaq that Islam promotes. And this is what our Salafus Salihin, alhamdulillah, this is what they had. Now, unfortunately, we seem to have forgotten these instructions, and we have allowed nationalism and we have allowed racism to creep into our lives and to take over our lives. And as we can say, you know, the results are painfully clear. So let us look at the changes that we need to bring about in our attitude and behavior and in our lifestyle and environment, which will help us to get out of this mess, this morass that we are currently stuck in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hujurat, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, inna allaha alimun khabir. Allah said, which means, O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes, that you may know one another. Verily, the most honorable of you with Allah is that person who has the most taqwa, who is most conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who loves Allah the most, and who is most careful and concerned about not disobeying Allah ever. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing, all-aware. I remind myself anew, in Surah Al-Hujurat, the Asbab al-Nuzul of this ayah, they are as follows. Sayyid bin Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he says that this ayat was revealed about Thabit bin Qais, when he made a remark about the man who did not make room for him to sit. And so he called the man a name. He said, what, the son of so-and-so, he referred to his mother, right? So like he said, son of a black woman or something like this. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who mentioned that woman? Who said that? So Thabit bin Qais stood up and he said, I did that, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, look at the faces of these people. And when he looked, he asked him, what do you see? Thabit bin Qais said, I see white and red and black people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are not better than any of them, unless it be through the good practice of your religion and unless it be because of taqwa. You are the same, you're just like anybody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed this ayah. Muqatil said, on the day Makkah was conquered, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu to climb onto the roof of the Kaaba and call the Adhan. Attab bin Asid commented on this and he said, praise be to Allah that Allah has taken my father to him. He said, thank God that my father is dead, so that he did not have to see this day, when Bilal bin Rabah is calling the Adhan from the top of the Kaaba. Harith bin Hisham, he said, did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam not find any other caller to prayer then this black raven, then this black crow, na'udhu billah. Suhail bin Amr said, Allah willing, he will change him, meaning, inshallah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will change this muazzin. He will not have this man. Abu Sufyan said, I am not going to say anything because I am afraid that the Rabb in the heaven will divulge. He will tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what I say. Now, Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informed him about what they had said. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summoned them and asked them about what they had said. And they admitted it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed this ayah, warning them against boasting about their lineages and the abundance of wealth and against looking down on the poor. Now, every ayat of the Quran is replete and filled with meaning and lessons for those who reflect and whose hearts are pure and submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qalbun salim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in this ayah about two very critical matters, which are the cause of so much strife and conflict in the world. One is racism, and the other one is class struggle, economic differences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how He created us, and who can be more knowledgeable than the one who created us. Allah reminded us about the fact that not only did He create us from one man and one woman, our father Adam alayhi salam and our mother Hawa alayhi salam, but that He, Jalla Jalaluhu, is not bound by genetic codes which decide heredity. Because He is the creator of those genes and He is the one who programmed those genes with those codes. So from the same man and woman, He gave rise to races from Mongol to Caucasian to Nubian to Arab. There used to be three main racial classifications. One was Caucasoid, second one was Negroid, and the third one was Mongoloid, which interestingly had to do with facial features and nothing to do with color. It's interesting to remember this because usually the moment you say race, we think color, but race, the formal qualification had to do with the shape of your eyes and the nose and lips and so on, facial features. Now, by this classification, for example, Indians, people like me, are Caucasoid. Right? But if I go to England, for example, and I try to convince British immigration that I'm related to the Queen, think about what happens. Now, a little research, I did a little bit, and this produced this gem, which said that the racial classifications of Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid is an outdated classification. As our knowledge of genes grows, these morphological distinctions that used to be defined as race actually turn out to be a very small proportion of the human genome compared to the vast amount of the average genome between each geographic area and the populations around the earth being 99.9% similar. Right? Think about that. 99.9% we are like every other person, whether that person is white or black or Chinese or Indian or whoever. We are 99.9% like them, and only 0.01% we are different. Interestingly also, the current classification used, where people are called African, American, Asian, European, is not a racial classification at all. It refers to continents. It's a geographical classification. So also, in our rather confused thinking, Jews, including European Jews, are called Semitic. Whereas European Jews are European. They are not Semitic. They are Caucasoid. Whereas Arabs, who come from exactly the same place and ancestry, are not called Semitic. Whereas they are Semitic. Both Arabic and Hebrew are Semitic languages. Both Arabs and Semitic Jews are Semitic. Whereas European Jews are not Semitic, they are from a different race. It doesn't matter because we are all equal. We are all the same. 99% of us, we are all the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He created us from one pair and divided us among different races and tribes so that we may recognize His power and majesty of creation, and that we may draw closer to one another as each of us is an ayah of Allah. Each of us is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu told us that our differences are actually something that should draw us closer to one another and enable us to honor one another and love one another, because we come from the same parents and have been created by the same creator. Yet we fall into the trap of shaitan and look down on one another because of racial differences. What did shaitan himself say? What did Iblis say when he was asked why he didn't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command to make sujood to Adam alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qala, ma manaka alla tasjuda idh amartuk? Qala, ana khayru minhu, khalaqtani min nari wa khalaqtahu min teen. In Surah Al-Araf, Allah described that meeting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what prevented you, O Iblis, that you did not make sujood when I commanded you? And Iblis said, I am better than him. Then Adam, you created me from fire and you created him from clay. Now that is the primeval statement of racial discrimination which landed Iblis in the hellfire, in Jahannam. So let us ask ourselves, whose lead we are following when we are being racist? Are we following the lead of Iblis? If we follow the lead of Iblis, of Shaitan, where do you think that is going to take us? Muslim societies, sad to say, are rampantly racist. I have innumerable examples of Muslims being racist in schools, in communities, even in masajid. So whose example are we following? Let us ask ourselves before we are asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember, I won't name the country and so on and so forth, but I remember a school that I was speaking to, and I found that in that place, the number of black students, African black students, was minuscule, if at all. So I asked them, I said, how come you don't have black people, black children in the school? They said, the children of other parents, they don't want a black child to sit next to them, next to their child in the class. How horrible is that? So I asked them, I said, what do you think was the color of the children of Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu? So I said, if I just say, take the name of Bilal bin Rabah without saying radiallahu anhu, if I just say Bilal this, Bilal that, you will rightfully criticize me for being disrespectful, but you will not allow a son or daughter of Bilal to sit next to your son or daughter radiallahu anhu. I said, what does that make you? Think about that. Now, think about what was the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sahaba. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Makkah as the conqueror. He cleaned the Kaaba from all the idols which had been placed in it, and then came the time to call the adhan. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that time when he entered the Kaaba, when he entered Makkah, he had an army of 10,000 Muslims. Every single one of them would have given an arm and a leg to be chosen as the one to call the first adhan in the Haram Sharif. There were also people who were in Makkah, like some of them I mentioned before to you, who had newly come into Islam, who maybe it would even have been, it can be argued that it would have been a politically, good decision to honor one of them by telling him to call the adhan, because it would have looked good, politically speaking. But who did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam choose? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, including Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, or radiallahu anhu ajma'in, all of these people, they were, each of them would have been more than happy, they would have been eager, they would have been hugely honored to be chosen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the opportunity to choose any of them. He could have chosen any from the aristocracy of Quraysh. He could have chosen any from the names of the Ansar. Instead of that, he chose a former slave, a black man, after whose name we say radiallahu anhu, Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. Not only did he choose Sayyidina Bilal, but he commanded him to climb on top of the roof of the Kaaba to call the adhan. The same Kaaba towards which we pray, the same Kaaba where we feel that the usul of adab are such that we will not lie down, or we will not extend our feet to point towards the Qibla as a mark of respect. Yet the same Kaaba was beneath the feet of Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu when he was calling the Adhan on the hukum, on the order of Rasulullah. Now, why did Rasulullah choose Bilal bin Rabah for this greatest of honors of calling not just the Adhan, but the first Adhan to be called in the Makkah, in the Haram Sharif in Makkah? Was it because he was trying to establish racial equality alone? Alone was best. But I believe that he did that because Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu had paid his dues. He was among those of the Sahaba who had suffered the most because of Islam. Bilal radiallahu anhu was known for his piety and devotion to Islam, which he had proved beyond doubt. Bilal radiallahu anhu was the one whose footsteps Rasulullah heard in the Jannah when he went on Isra wal Miraj. Bilal radiallahu anhu was honored not because he was black, but because he was a man of taqwa. And that is the tafsir of the second part of this Ayatul Karima, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Yazid ibn Shajara radiallahu anhu, he said, one day Rasulullah passed by some of the marketplaces of Medina, and he saw a black slave, young man, standing while his seller was calling, this slave is for sale, this is for sale, whoever wants to offer more. The slave kept on repeating, I have a condition for whoever wants to buy me. And they said, what's your condition? He said, my master should not stop me from praying the five fard salawat behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the man brought, one man bought him on this condition. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then used to see him at each salah until one day he did not see him. So he asked his owner, he said, where is that boy? The owner said, Ya Rasulullah, he has fever. Rasulullah said to his sahaba sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us go and visit him. They went and visited him. And after a few days, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his owner, how is the slave boy? The man said, Ya Rasulullah, the boy's lips have turned dark. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to see him. He found him feverish and the boy died in that state. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then took charge of his washing. He personally gave ghusl to that slave boy. He washed him. He personally put his kafan on. And then he prayed Salatul Janaza for him, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam buried him with his own hands. Now, some of his sahaba were quite horrified and they became quite disturbed. The Muhajirun said, we left our homes and wealth and family, but none of us has seen in this life, none of us has seen in his life sickness or death what this slave boy has. He said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam honored this boy so much, even though we have done so much for the religion. The Ansar, they said, we received him, that is Rasulullah, in our homes, we helped him and supported him with our riches, but he preferred this Abyssinian slave over us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed this ayah, the whole thing, where he said that you are the children of one father and one mother, and he showed them the merit of his taqwa by saying, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the basis on which to choose people, the basis on which people deserve honor and respect. And his messenger exemplified this in his life. In a world where we have become used to applying the standard of Qarun, the standard of wealth, as our only criterion for determining who is to be honored and who it would do us, and who not honored, it would do us well to remember that the standard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different. In Islam, a person is not distinguished on the basis of his wealth or his race or his nationality or his temporal authority. A person is not even distinguished on the basis of his knowledge. He is distinguished only on the basis of his actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not visible, but taqwa, which is the fear of displeasing Allah, is visible in our actions. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the only thing which counts. A picture is worth 1,000 words. A deed, an action is worth a million. So watch those actions because they speak volumes. Now, as we have seen from the Asbab al-Nuzul of this ayat, there were many of the Quraysh who hated the fact that not only did this black man, Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, call the Adhan, but that he was made to climb on top of the Kaaba to do that. But they remained silent for obvious reasons. They didn't want to, at that time they were afraid to say anything. But the incident rankled. After Fatah Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his army to face the Banu Taqif from Taif, who had gathered to attack the Muslims. In this army, there were many young so-called aristocrats of the Quraysh and other Makkan tribes who had recently accepted Islam, but they didn't have the benefit of the tarbiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yet. Now, along the way, when it was time for Salah, Rasulullah ﷺ ordered Bilal radiallahu anhu to call the Adhan. Now some of the young men from the Quraysh, they started laughing at him. And they started passing comments about this black man calling people to Salah. One of them was particularly vociferous and obnoxious about this. And his name was Abu Mahdura. Someone informed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam summoned those people. The young men were terrified because this was now serious. They were in the middle of the Muslim army and they were being summoned by the commanding officer because they had mocked his muezzin. But they had no alternative but to go. So they arrived in the presence of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked them, who was mocking Bilal? The one who was their leader, he stood up because that was Abu Mahdura. He had no alternative. What else could he do? So he stood up. He said, I was the one, Ya Rasulullah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, he said, come close. He came close and wallahi, what must have been going on in his mind? He probably thought that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is now going to, signal to somebody to take off his head for this to serve as a warning to everybody else. He thought maybe it's a prelude to being beheaded as an example. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was smiling and he told him to sit down. He said, come sit here, close to him. And then he said to him, would you like me to teach you how to call the Adhan? Imagine, this is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I mean, what kind of a teacher is this? What kind of a leader is this? What kind of leadership style is this? What kind of correcting style is this? We talk about all these things. Alhamdulillah, we have the best of examples. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا قَالَ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the best example for you is the example of my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the one who looks forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So Abu Mahdura, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says to him, do you want me to teach you how to call the Adhan? Now he was astonished. Here he was, he had been mocking Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, who was the muazzin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he richly deserved to be, and he expected to be punished severely for his trouble. And here was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking him if he would like to learn the Adhan from himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Mahdura said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to him, repeat after me. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him the Adhan. He said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Abu Mahdura repeated, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أمو بهدورة repeat it. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم taught him the adhan, and Abu Mahdura repeated and learned the adhan. And then when Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم finished, Abu Mahdura said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a request. Bilal رضي الله عنه is your muazzin in Medina. Make me your muaddin in Mecca. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are my muaddin in Mecca. And they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Abu Mahdura radiallahu anhu a long life. Until his last day, he used to come to the masjid, to the haram, and he would make tawaf, and then he would call the adhan for every salah. My brothers and sisters, we who like to talk about aqidah, forget that to practice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered in our lives is a reflection of our aqidah. Aqidah is not merely to recite the creed or to argue about the nature of Allah's dhat and all of these things. Aqidah is to demonstrate our belief in practice by living by that aqidah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the only criterion of distinction between human beings is the level of their taqwa, and to treat everyone as equal, and to wipe out all discrimination from our attitude, language, and actions, and that is the description and demonstration of our aqidah and actions. And this is what the Quran is about, and this proves that the Quran is the book that came to be obeyed. See this criterion also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the criterion is taqwa. Tell me who knows about taqwa except Allah. Because taqwa is a state of the heart. Even if you see my behavior, for example, if you see me praying and you see me standing in this very, very, pious looking position, you don't know whether I am doing that because of my khashyat of Allah or whether I am doing that to show you and impress you. Because if I am doing that to show you and impress you, maybe I will be even more conscious of how I am standing than if I was doing it myself, but my action would be shirk. So Allah deliberately gave and set a standard, a criterion of deciding on somebody's superiority or inferiority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave taqwa as the standard, which only He knows. We will know who is superior and who is not superior on the day of judgment when that taqwa will become visible and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grade people on that basis. So in this life, we consider and we should consider every single person to be actually better than us because we don't know that. We do not know that that person is not better than us. It's extremely important for us to keep this in mind. Very sadly, we have, our societies are highly racist. We discriminate against each other on the basis of color, on the basis of race, on the basis of wealth. All of these are haram in Islam, and they are indicators of the worst of all terminal illnesses, which is kibr, which is arrogance. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from practicing all forms of racism and to enable us to do our best to root out racism from our hearts and attitudes and actions and our societies. This is the secret of the unity of this ummah. And it is an ummah that came together on the basis of faith, and it must be kept together only and only on that basis. The Muslim is the brother of every other Muslim. no matter his origin or glory. Only then will hearts be healed and brought closer and cemented together so that we all stand shoulder to shoulder as in Salah. Salah is the biggest reminder of that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to remember this as we stand before him and to forgive our transgressions. The sad thing to say is that may Allah protect us from ourselves. There are people who practice this discrimination even in Salah. I have seen people standing, deliberately shifting and standing further away from their brothers because the brother is a poor man. Maybe his clothes are not, they don't look, as nice as your own clothes, and so on and so forth. And so you stand further away from that person. You don't realize that you are angering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates people being racist. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us for that. Allah created us as one ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that we are one ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun." See this beautiful ayat, and in this ayat came in two places in the Quran, with a difference of only one word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun." And in another place Allah said, "Wa inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun." So in the first place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this ummah of yours is one ummah. This brotherhood of yours is one brotherhood. And I am your Rabb, so worship me. Now see this, how Allah honored the Muslims, how Allah honored us. By showing us that the reason we are one is because He is one. The reason we are one is because we worship Him alone. Right? We don't worship several gods. We worship only one Allah because there is only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah He showed Himself as the reason why we are one, because Allah is one and all of us worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And رَبُّكُمْ فَعْبُدُونَ. And his second ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned taqwa. Now what is taqwa? Taqwa is the way we live. Taqwa is the way we decide. Taqwa is the way we walk and talk and speak. This is the beauty. Allah is saying that, therefore have my taqwa, meaning that I am one, I am the only, your only concern is to please me. Your only concern is to worship me. So be one and know that you are one because I am one and you worship only me. And be one and know that I am one because you only, and make sure that you please only me, nobody else. And this is the beauty of our beautiful religion. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to join hearts always. And that's why I keep saying all the time, do not listen to anybody who talks the language of division. Anyone who tries to talk to you against anyone else, not only Muslim, but even non-Muslim. If somebody is talking the language of division, reject them outright. These people are not your friends. They are your enemies. They are going against Islam. They are going against Islamic character. They are going against, and their actions and your actions also, if you follow them, will result in disgrace for you in this world and the displeasure of Allah and the anger of Allah in the Akhirah. We don't need that. We don't want that. We want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to live a life which is full of grace and beauty in this world. And we want to be in a situation where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us when we meet him in the next world. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.